At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Thank you so much for listening. Not the last episode. We'll have a new episode for you next week. This is the before Christmas episode, so happy holidays, everyone. Merry Christmas. Appreciate you listening to this before we get into that holiday, and then we'll have our annual year-end SI Media podcast with Peter Schrager and Andrew Perloff next week going into New Year's. For this episode, it's going to be all Train of Thoughts, mailbag edition. I asked listeners for questions via Twitter, got a million questions, and we bring in my buddy who's with me every week for the Train of Thoughts segment from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV in New York, Sal Licata. Sal, how's it going?
Oh, great. Cannot wait to be done with work and enjoy the final week of the year at home on my couch.
You'll have a whole week off, so that's a good thing.
Which I feel like I haven't had in forever. Normally, I fill in for the morning show that week, and now I don't have to do that because I have my own show during the day. So it'll be nice to just completely shut it down and recharge.
Very nice. So, Sal, this will be a whole pod with Sal, and we're going to just answer all the questions that came in from folks on Twitter for the podcast. Before we get to the question, I didn't think about answers to the questions, but I saw the questions, and it's a good mix of like media and nonsense, so we can have some fun. Before we get to the questions, are you're all ready for Christmas? You have a lot to do?
I still have a pretty decent-sized list to take care of stuff, but we're getting there. Still got a couple more days before I could just kick back and totally relax. Like, I'll have to wrap stuff, of course, but I enjoy that. I'm talking about like getting shit done. Oh my God, dude, I got to pay the, I wanted to actually ask you about this, the tip for the garbage guy. I got to do that.
We went through this last year. It was a huge thing on the podcast.
Yeah, and I forget how much we talked about. So that's on my list. Like, I got to write out the card and then give it to him tomorrow. Mailman or postal worker, whatever. I got to do that as well. So those are on my list. Yeah.
This was a whole big thing last year, I remember.
I remember.
And then what, back at work, what, January 2nd or something?
Yes.
Like that?
Okay. Yes, if you could believe that.
Yeah. Well, it's...
Same for you, no?
I'm taking 2 weeks off.
Oh, you're back to work when?
Like the 8th.
Oh,
there'll be new pods, though. There'll be new pods each week. So it's not like there'll be new pods, but
all right. No writing. Good for you. Weeks.
Yeah, you got that right. Hey, I've been doing this a long time, you know? All right, let's get to these questions. I'm just going to, like I said, it's a mix of media and non-media. And I will just ask them how they came in, and hopefully we can satisfy the listeners. All right. Here we go. First question, Douglas Pucci at Son of the Bronx. With Tom Brady joining Fox next season, what's your prediction of how they use him? Do they make it a trio with Brady, Burkhart, and Olsen, or do they demote/boot Greg Olsen? Brady's definitely going to be, as long as he wants to do it, which I think he does, he will be on the number one team with Burkhart. I think what they do with Olsen will be the most fascinating media story of 2024. So the options are move Greg Olsen down to the number two team with Joe Davis. Leave Olsen there, make it a three-man booth with Burkhart, Brady, and Olsen. And then I don't know if Olsen may have something in his contract where he can leave if he's not on the number one team, you know, something like that maybe. I think eventually, I don't think it's going to happen next year. I think, this is what I think. I think that if Fox doesn't have Olsen on their number one team, I think at some point, whether it's 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, I think he ends up at NBC replacing Collinsworth. Because Romo's not going anywhere for a while. Aikman's not going anywhere for a while. Collinsworth has been there a long time. They had Tirico take over for Al. Maybe they try to revamp the whole booth and they bring Olsen in, fresh blood. So I think eventually, if Olsen isn't part of the number one team, Greg Olsen's not going to stay on Fox's number two team for years and years and years. That's what I think. In terms of next year, I wouldn't be shocked if they did a three-man booth so they can ease Brady into that role.
Why? What would be the negatives of having a three-man booth long-term?
Does Brady want to be part of a three-man booth? I don't know. Is it, you're paying Brady a shit ton of money.
Stupid.
Olsen's going to be making good money. You know, do you want to not have, you know, if you have a three-man booth with Brady and Olsen, your number two booth is going to be hurt. I mean, Darryl Johnson is just not good.
Yeah, well,
so they need Olsen there.
That's something I was going to say. The depth of Fox's teams have been no good for a while. And I'm not trying to disrespect anybody. I'm just telling you as a fan, like I can tell as somebody who's watched a lot of these games for a long time, it's not even comparable to what CBS has. They have great depth. Every broadcast crew is strong. With Fox, it's like, oh, man. I mean, the slim pickings at the bottom of it. And you actually found a great pair with KB, with Kevin, and Olsen. And because you got lured by the name, you sold out for Tom Brady and potentially ruining things. So,
well, they had signed Brady before Olsen sort of blew up.
All right, but like, still, I mean, they had Olsen. They knew what they had. I would make it a three-man booth myself and have the best team possible. Look, I know you can't move Brady to a secondary team, but what more could you ask of Olsen? He's developed into a legit number one guy.
You can't ask him to do anything more, but, and I know people don't like to hear this, but the reality is he's not Tom Brady. Now,
yeah, but how do we know Brady's going to be good?
Well, you don't. That's why what they do with Olsen's going to be tricky, because it might be smart for them to do it as a three-man booth, because if Brady's not good, then they have the backup there. If they demote Olsen and he's the number two guy, and then Brady flops as the number one guy, now you're going to go back, hands on your knees to Olsen, say, can you please stay? But I don't see, listen, there are people right off the bat, no matter how good Brady is, are going to say he's not good because he's Tom Brady. Tom Brady's not going to be like one and done. There's just no way. It's not his personality. I think he's going to be good. We have to see him do it. But a prediction, I think they're going to just give Brady the number one slot. I think they'll move Olsen to the number two team. That's what but I wouldn't be shocked if they made it a three-man. But if you want a prediction, I say they stick to that plan.
It's Joe Davis, you said, is the number two guy?
Play-by-play, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Whatever. My old philosophy, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They found something. It's so hard to find a good team in broadcasting. They found it. Figure it out how they got to make it work. Yeah, but I would keep.
You're not gonna. They're not gonna pass on Tom Brady. They're just not gonna. I mean, it's not happening. Mm-hmm. All right.
By the way,
Nick,
do you think that there's anybody in the world that wants to watch a football game more because Tom Brady's calling the game? Like, who gives a shit?
Well, I have to hear him do it before I can answer that question.
Yeah, but like, you love Romo. Does he make you watch the games, or does the matchup make you watch the game?
Well, the matchup will make me watch the game. Right. But if I like the announcer, I'm going to be more dialed in. But they're not going to make me, you know, watch it. All right. I hope I say this name correctly. Nick Atanikovich. Nick Atanikovich. What do you wish you knew before getting into sports media / starting a podcast? It's a phenomenal question. I wish I would have known that you really need to be ready to change, be prepared for how the medium changes. You know, when I started, Twitter wasn't around. You know, everyone wants to do video, video, video. You got to really, there's a lot of changes that are happening all the time. You got to stay on top of it. And in terms of starting a podcast, I don't know. I mean, there's so many out there. I don't know how you break through right now. I wish I would have known more about the production end of it. But yeah, that's my answer for that.
Do you have
before getting into sports talk radio?
No. I was prepared to do whatever I needed to. Now, obviously you don't know how long it's going to take to get to your ultimate goals. You don't know if you ever get there, period. But like, okay, so what if somebody said, yeah, it's going to take you 20 years to get to middays? What would I have done? Quit? So I don't need to have known that. I like what you said from the podcast side or social media side. Like, we learn that on the fly and still learning it. I have no idea how a lot of it works, but I wish I knew more about the technical side of that stuff and what helps cut through in that medium.
Yeah, I wish I knew more about the business side too, which I think it's hard to be involved in, is, you know, doing stuff on air and then the business side. So, all right. DolphinsTalk.com. If Warner Brothers Discovery signs WWE to a mega TV deal as they are in talks to do you think that is a sign they are out of the NBA business and will bow out of NBA TV rights talks? WWE, are they a fallback option, knowing NBA TV rights will get pricey? I don't think one has anything to do with the other. I think Warner Brothers Discovery, which is TNT, Turner, I think they want the NBA. I don't think they're in talks about possibly getting the WWE Monday Night Raw. I don't think one has anything to do with the other. I think, you know, pretty much the only thing that drives TV ratings now is live TV and sports. So I think Warner Brothers Discovery probably wants WWE and NBA. I don't think one has anything to do with the other.
I don't really have anything to add to that.
Yeah. This is a good question right here for you and me. Here we go. Colin McDonough. How many live sporting events do you take in each year? What is your all-time favorite moment/game that you attended? You want to go first? You want me to go first?
You have one?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'll say this. I don't go to any sporting events anymore. I'll go to one or two Yankee games a year. That's it. I'll never go to a football game again as long as I live. The Knicks priced me out, so forget that. In terms of my favorite moment game that I've ever attended, you know, it's tough. So what comes to my mind right away is I was lucky enough to go to a Yankees Braves World Series game. Not 96. What was the second time? 98? Was that
99?
So I did go to a Yankee Braves World Series game in 99 that the Yankees won, which was awesome. Favorite moment, though, I went to the famous 1996 Yankee opening day in the blizzard with Andy Pettit on the mound. That might have been my favorite game just for the reason of, like, you watch an entire game in a blizzard. They gave away free tickets if you were in attendance. I was at the Mets Mike Piazza 9/11 game, the first game back in 9/11. That was memorable. But if I'm giving you one, I was at the Aaron Boone game. When he hit the home run against the Red Sox, ALCS game 7. Well, let me tell you, I was this close to leaving. I turned to my buddy Rich, who I went to the game with. Oh, funny story about that. My friend Rich scalped a ticket before the game, and it was a cop. But luckily, he showed some. His father is in government, so he showed something, and we got out of it. I thought we were going to jail. And the Red Sox were leading that game. I forgot what the score was. And I turned to him. I said, if they score one or two more runs, I'm leaving. Because there's no way I'm sitting in Yankee Stadium watching the Red Sox celebrate. So I said, one or two more runs, I'm out of here. And then the Yankees ended up coming back. And then Aaron Boone hit the home run. That has to be the most. Even though I saw Yankees win a World Series game, the Aaron Boone game was probably the greatest game I ever attended.
Yeah, it's hard.
And I did go to a Knicks.
One.
I remember I've gone to Knicks playoff game against the Pacers was wild too. But the Aaron Boone, go ahead.
Rangers playoff games have always been fun for me. Knicks playoff games back in the day, certainly a little bit better. And I wasn't, unfortunately, didn't go during the peak of the 90s, but like the later years in the postseason. The sad part is that we were people who used to love going to games. Like, I remember I went to 53 games in 2000 for the Mets. 53.
Wow.
Out of 81 home games. Like, I just lived right for it. Now, I've never come close to that. And now I would say with all sports, maybe I go to 5 games a year. Like, that's Knicks, Rangers, playoffs, Mets, Yankees, maybe a little bit more.
You stopped going to the Met game because you got berated there by.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right. With my mother. Yeah. Some guy's like, hey, fuck you. You're the fucking worst. Okay. Thanks for watching.
That was no more Citi Field for you.
No, I like going to take like my daughter. Like, I do like going. It's just a different experience now. And it doesn't mean as much as it used to when I would go. I would say do you remember the Piazza game where they were down? The Mets were down like 8-1 or whatever. They had an 8-run comeback against the Braves. Piazza hit a line drive home run down the line. It was one of the great regular season games ever. Probably that was one of my more memorable, at least regular season games.
Okay. Did you go to any of the Mets Royals World Series games?
I did. Yeah, I went to 2000 World Series, which obviously I want to forget. I went to the 2015 World Series, which was nice. Harvey, you know, when he comes back out, that was a great moment, but it ended poorly. I'll give you a good one. I flew down to Atlanta. I'm a Falcons fan, or at least was, back-to-back weekends the year that they went to the Super Bowl. Saw them beat the Seahawks, flew down with my wife, flew down the next week by myself to see them beat the Packers in the NFC Championship game, last game in the Georgia Dome to clinch going to the Super Bowl, Matt Ryan MVP. Unfortunately, like every other fucking sports story in my life, it ended poorly losing that Super Bowl. But those are good ones.
Certainly did. All right. We've got at Resh Manuel. If Belichick decided he wants to do TV work, what kind of role would you see him in and how much money do you think he would command? Well, he's going to get, if he does TV, he's going to get as much money as anyone doing TV. That's number one. I'd want to see him do games. Whoever hires him will stick him in a studio. I think it's a complete waste to put him in a studio. I would rather him do games, but I'm sure they'll put him in a studio, whichever. But I think he's going to coach anyway. So do you have a preference on where you'd want to see him?
Probably on a desk in the studio shows because I want more of the personality. I know why you're saying he'd be better at games, but I want to see a different side of him. I want to see personality. And I love Belichick. I don't think he'd be good at it, but I want to see. I saw the Hellman thing with Lee Corso and all that, which I loved. I want to see more of that, which I don't think you could get during a game.
Well, the other reason, too, is I watch the games. I'm not watching the studio shows every week. So yeah. I feel like it's just a waste.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everyone. This is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
We're back with season 2 of the podcast, which means more opportunities to glow up and become a more responsible and better adult, one life lesson at a time.
And let me just tell you, this show is just as much for us as it is for you. So let's figure this stuff out together. This season, we're going to talk about whether or not we're financially and emotionally ready for dog ownership.
We're going to figure out the benefits of a high-yield savings account.
And what exactly are the duties of being a member of the wedding party?
All that, plus so much more.
Let's learn about all of it and then some. Listen to Grown Up Stuff How to Adult on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Grown Up Stuff.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
All right, Dr. Nacho, MD. Am I the only person who's grown to hate the Heisman Trophy and associate hype? I will say this. I don't care about it's weird when I got this question. I thought about it. I never watched the Heisman Trophy ceremony. I haven't watched it probably in, I don't know, probably 10 years because, I don't know, usually you know who's going to win it, and then you just see it on Twitter. It's not really a show you need to watch, so I'm not a big Heisman Trophy show person. All right, here's one we can fight over. Ryan Madison. Am I the only person that loves the Monday Night Football regional broadcast idea, having two simultaneous games or even a 45 to 60 minute stagger gives a Sunday feel to Monday Night Football and makes it a must view night for me? So I loved having the two games last week when it was Packers Giants and Dolphins Titans. I wouldn't mind that every week. I know it seemed like most people hated it. I like the idea. I'm with Ryan on this. I don't know where you stand on it.
I hated it. I'm going to concede one thing. I don't know if I'm sure I've complained to you about this. I don't know if I did it on the podcast or off of it. I hated the idea of the Saturday games, but now I actually love them because I don't need to sit there and watch them like from start to finish. I could listen to them on the radio. Going around doing your Christmas shopping, whatever shit you need to do, the games are on. You come back home, you flip it on. You don't need to be locked in. It's a different feel for the Saturday games. But the good thing about it is that they're just individual games, one game at a time. That's what I hate about the Monday night. There's no fucking reason for it. Separate the games. One game at 7, one game at 10, or one game at 6, one game at 9. It doesn't make any sense to have two at once. I hate it.
But there's eight games at 1 o'clock on a Sunday. So why can't you handle two games on a Monday?
It's different. You expect it on Sunday. You're prepared for it. On a Monday night, I just want to be able to watch either one game at 7 or 8 or a game at 7 and then another one at 10. Like, why would you put two games on at once? You're limiting who's viewing it.
Double the pleasure. No, you're not. Because everyone, they're thinking about the generation where everyone is using multiple screens, whether it's a phone, an iPad, in addition to the TV, your laptop, whatever. The thinking is that everyone watches more than one screen these days. Give me the more games, the better. I have no problem putting, and I'll tell you this.
So then why not on Saturday play three games at once then on the Saturday?
Because the Saturday, it's only,
play three games at 1 o'clock.
I'm fine with that. Go for it.
But don't you think it would be stupid to play 3 at 1 as opposed to 1, 4, and 8? You know what I mean?
They're playing games during the day. They're not going to play games during the day on Monday. They only have the night window.
So then just play one if you can't do both. I just on those nights. First of all, they should get rid of Thursday Night Football, which is just the dumbest thing ever. And if you
disagree again,
for me it's overkill. And the idea that you would put two at the same time, like what football fan would prefer to watch two? Wouldn't you watch either way?
Two games, I put one on each TV, I'm good to go. Like I have zero issues with it. There's zero negative.
You can't really watch a game another game.
Yes, you can. I totally disagree. I can watch two games, no problem at all.
Totally disagree. There's no way you can talk New York Giants football when you're watching the Dolphins Titans. You didn't watch Giants Packers if you not enough to talk about it, at least for what I do or for what Giant fans are doing. Like, if you're just looking for certain plays, certain bets, sure. But there's no way, because I remember I'm trying to watch the fucking Giant game because I got to talk about it, but yet I want to see what's going on in the Dolphins Titans game. And it just makes my life more difficult. You can't follow two the way you would one.
I disagree. I totally think you can. All right, let's see here. Isles Mets Jets fan. This is at Big Jim fan. Is Mad Dog returning to SiriusXM in 2024? Is he giving that up? Figure his fifth son would know. Dog keeps calling me his fifth son on his radio show. I think you will see a scaled back Mad Dog in 2024, like maybe, very light in the summer, but he's not retiring. He's not going to give up SiriusXM, so I wouldn't worry about that.
I think one of Dog's sons is actually doing a show on the fan over either next week or something. Yeah. Colin. I think Colin Russo.
Yeah. Dog, can you get Colin on Sirius? He has to go to the fan. At TJ Ramsey 44, similar to quarterback, do you think a Netflix doc that follows multi-sport play-by-play announcers, Ian Eagle, Kenny Albert, Adam Amin, would be good? I think that would be fantastic. A Netflix doc on play-by-play guys who do more than one sport, like this guy mentioned here, good examples of Ian Eagle, Kenny Albert. I think that I would watch that. I'd absolutely watch that.
I would, but is it because we're like nerds for that and love the sports?
Yeah,
stuff?
Well, it's a sports media podcast, so this is the audience that would watch it.
Yeah,
I'd absolutely watch that.
I'd personally be into it, but I think it's different than like a quarterback documentary, which, by the way, I can't even get into myself. I know they're good. I just don't have the time for it. But I love Ian, so of course I'd watch something on him like that.
All right, at Matt Tritton. At one point, is it okay to recline a seat on an airplane, a red-eye flight, or a trip that needs to be a certain length? People are going to get mad at me. To me, I have no problem with people reclining their seats for this simple fact. If the seat has the ability to recline, then that means you're allowed to recline. If reclining your seat on an airplane is taboo or not allowed or bad, they shouldn't have seats that are recline. To me, it's common sense.
Go ahead. Can't argue that.
Okay. We're going to get shit for that one.
Why?
All right. Because people get mad about the people don't think you should be. People don't think that people should be allowed to recline on an airplane. Then why do the seats have the ability to recline?
Absolutely, you should be able to recline. I've never even heard anything of the sort otherwise.
All right, here we go. Let's see here. Dominic at Dominic Hunter. Sunday Ticket has been great, but even though they have all possible combinations on multi-view, the biggest problem is that you can't mix early and late games. If games go to overtime, I should be able to watch the end and the start of the late games at the same time. Will they fix this? I like this question because it's hardcore. Like, this is hardcore. So what Dominic is saying is if a 1 o'clock game goes to overtime and now you want to pull in, let's say, a mix of 2 4 o'clock games, you can't get that 1 o'clock game as part of the mix. So it's a great question. I have a feeling that's not going to be able to be changed. I bet there's some technical aspect with the 1-4 split that and it's so rare that I don't think YouTube's going to hear enough complaints. Like, I get where Dominic's coming from, and I like how hardcore that question is. I don't think it's a big enough issue where they would do something about it.
Why, though, can't you just select your own games?
That's what they need to fix. And I have a feeling eventually they will do that. I don't know if it's going to be next year, but I think down the road they will let you. But they, like he said, if you look, they have every combination there is. You just, but they're not maybe in the boxes you want them. But I think they'll change it where you can pick your own games.
I agree with what you're saying. Like, I thought initially it was just going to be, hey, here's our game mix and it's one version and you take it or leave it. They give you plenty of options to where you should be able to figure out what you want. However, you should just be able to pick the games. Like, that's all they're missing from being beyond perfect.
All right. Peter Alessia, MJF, who I did a bonus podcast with this week.
That.
So check that out if you heard that. MJF is notoriously known for being in character at all times when discussing wrestling-related topics. Do you think in his conversation with you, he was working you? I do think he was working me. I don't have any issues with that because this is part of his job. It's part of his livelihood. I do think he was working me on the wrestling stuff. I don't think he was working me on the non-wrestling stuff. And, you know, I always appreciate whenever I have Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins on, I'll ask questions that sometimes they don't want to answer because of storyline purposes and backstage stuff. And they'll come out right out and say, I don't want to answer that, or I'm not going to answer that, which I like that better than giving me like the in-character stuff. But you know, I have no problem if he's working me because he's nice enough to come on the podcast. He doesn't have to do it at all. So if he's going to do what he has to do for storyline purposes, that's fine with me.
That's wild.
All right. All right, Matt at the Matt Shelton. I can't wait to hear Sal's answer on this one. As a kid, would you rather have been on Family Double Dare or Family Feud?
as a kid,
yeah,
100% Double Dare. I used to love that show.
I think everyone would say that, but I would say Family Feud.
Why?
I always loved Family Feud. I watched Family Feud, the Richard Dawson version, when he was a perv kissing all the contestants. And I've always thought Family Feud is so easy. Double Dare, you got to do physical challenges, get stuff thrown on you. Don't throw slime yeah. on me, and I'm running obstacle course. That's not, I'll go Family Feud for me. But I know everyone else is going to say Double Dare.
I love Family Feud. As a matter of fact, I remember having the Family Feud board game. So I do go back like you do. But as a kid, I feel like Double Dare was it, man.
Yeah, I know. I was more into the regular game shows than Double Dare.
Okay.
Always. So. All right. At AEM 20221, how orgasmic would the TV executives be with the New York Jets at Green Bay Packers game in 2024? If they both finish on the same line, currently both in third place, that will happen. I think if the Jets play the Packers next year, it's going to be on Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football. It's either going to be Sunday night or Monday night. I'm sure everyone, CBS, Fox, ABC, NBC, they'd all want that game. I don't think it would be like the highest rated game of the year because it's going to be a Cowboys game. But Aaron Rodgers going back to Lambeau, they would be very excited.
Here's the question I have, though, more importantly. Mm. How many games do you think the Jets will have in prime time next year?
You know, I think someone's asking that coming up.
Oh.
So let's save that because I think someone does get to that. So, let me see if I can find it because someone definitely asked it.
It came up the other day.
There it is.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What were you saying?
No, I was going to say it came up the other day on the radio show, and I think it's a fascinating question for you. Like, oh my God, they're going to go back at it again and hope that Rodgers stays healthy.
So at Barry 0445509 6, do you think the NFL will scale back the number of nationally aired Jets games for 2024 in light of this year's disaster? I think if anything, maybe there'd be one game less. I don't think they're going to scale it back because one, you're going to have, you supposedly will have Dr. Aaron Rodgers back next year. Then you still have it's still the top TV market in the country. So they're going to want to capitalize on that. They're going to have games against Buffalo. They're going to have games against Miami. I don't know what NFC conference they play next year. It's not the NFC East because that's who they're playing this year. But I think you're going to get, I'm sure you'll get at least, I would say four.
Yeah. I mean, that's still a lot. It's just they're so bad. And if anything happens to him, they're unwatchable.
Right. I mean, listen, I think the selling point isn't the play on the field. It's the drama.
Right.
Like if he's back next year, you got to see, how recovered is he from the Achilles? The franchise has been an embarrassment for its whole existence. What can he do anything to help fix that? You know, if you're going based on what you saw on the field, they shouldn't get one prime. They don't score any points. How you put them on prime time? Their game, they don't score any points in their games. Those games, they score 6, 12, 13, 0. Like how you can't, but they're not gonna leave Aaron Rodgers with less than like at least 3 primetime games.
No, I get it. I get it.
Yeah. @Dogmatics09, with NFL officials missing so many calls this year, do you foresee a day the NFL puts a ref in the booth to make the calls easy, i.e. false starts, delay game, allow on-field officials to be better? I think they will absolutely do something like that eventually. I think they have to. There is a way to fix some of the problems. And they do it sometimes when they say, oh, New York, I'm the sky, they're buzzing down to they're going to have to do something at some point with it. I don't know exactly what they're going to do, but they will do it.
They're never going to get it perfect, though. That's the problem. With all the replay.
That's true. That's true.
It's never going to be perfect. It's still messed up. You're still going to find something to complain about.
That's true. All right. Patrick Webb @Webb_2. Favorite Christmas movie or hate them all? To me, easiest question you could possibly. It's Home Alone, and that there is no number two. Well, Home Alone 2 would be number two. Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2. That's the favorite. Those are the goats. To me, it's not even something I have to think about.
I go Miracle on 34th Street is my favorite.
You're a liar.
No, I swear to God. I was just watching the original, though. Can't be the color.
You like Miracle on 34th Street better than Home Alone?
I mean, yeah, I love Home Alone. I'd probably put Home Alone, Miracle on 34th Street, and Elf as my top three all time.
But your favorite,
if
you're telling me, is Miracle.
If I only could watch one. Now, look, like, not to get too corny with it, but yeah, there are sentimental reasons to, like, do I enjoy Home Alone more? Well, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, what, 50 years newer than Miracle on 34th Street. But man, that is a great movie, and it is funny. I love Miracle on 34th Street. You don't like that movie?
No, I don't.
At all?
Cheese ball. Complete cheese.
No, I love it. It's a classic.
You know, right before, a few hours before we taped this, Mad Dog on First Take did his top five things he dislikes the most about Christmas. And number one, it was Miracle on 34th.
No, it was A Wonderful Life.
Oh, Wonderful Life. Yeah. Oh, that's right. I'm getting that. Okay, I apologize. Miracle on 34th Street's okay. It's A Wonderful Life. That's
about
the cheese. I apologize. That's no. On me. I screwhed up.
Wonderful
the cheese
life,
ball move. The cheese ball movie is A Wonderful Life. A Miracle on 34th Street, I'll give you that.
Okay.
I was thinking It's A Wonderful Life because that's the movie that they, yeah.
I get it, yeah.
But it's still Home Alone.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everyone. This is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
Here's a clip from an upcoming episode featuring the weekly home checks, Keyshawn Lane, that you won't want to miss.
A common mistake that a lot of people do, they use fabric softener when it's not so great for your clothes.
Should we never be using fabric softener?
No, you should not ever be using fabric softener.
Wow.
It leaves a deposit on our clothes, which is also left in the machine, and it also makes the clothes highly flammable.
Wait, what?
Yes. What you want to do instead is just use a quarter cup of vinegar.
And that'll make them softer?
That'll make them softer. And if you wanted some kind of scent, you can use essential oils.
Wow. Catch new episodes of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult every other Tuesday on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Grown Up
Stuff. Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
At Sar McLean, do you think ESPN NFL was happy with their flex decision? They flexed out Chiefs, Patriots for Eagles, Seahawks. I think they were thrilled because the Patriots are a completely unwatchable team, and Philly, Seattle had a great finish, and I had no issues with it at all.
Agreed.
Let's see. At JS underscore 10 Majors, do you have any idea what game they'd like to put on the Peacock for the wild card weekend? Do you think they'll just try to go with the lowest profile game, like whoever the Jaguars host if it when they win the yes the whatever's the worst game is what'll be on Peacock. That's an easy one.
Are we going to get to talk about Al Michaels, or you already did that?
I did that last week, but if you want to say something about Al, you can.
I do want to say something. A,
go ahead.
I think this whole thing is bullshit, that the way that they're treating Al, which I know you agree with. B,
yes.
I don't understand this notion that he's lost that much of a step. Like, all right, he's almost 80 or whatever he is. He's maybe not what he once was. He's still fucking better than 90% of the people that do the games. Like, you want to rip Dungy, whatever. You want to get on somebody else, whatever. So, or the pairing, like, I don't like Herb Street. I just look at him as a college football guy, but that's me. But Al Michaels, I hear his voice. It's a big game. He has not lost to me much, if anything at all.
I agree. And I think it's all like, this is what happened with Romo. Like, it gets started and then there's the pile on and then there's the copycat. And I think it's just social media. I think if you put social media away, people don't dislike Al Michaels. I think it's, you know, it's the thing now to do is to go on social media and rip Al and say, you know, Al's never been a yeller. So like the argument that people have, like Al's not excited. Al's never been a yeller.
So, right.
And if you had to call the games he's had to call for 2 years, you wouldn't be yelling either. So, like,
leave Al the fuck alone. And the fact that, like, he didn't even know about it, that is disgusting. One of the all-time greats? I mean, come on.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure what happened there. I think there's probably a story there that we don't know about.
Well, but didn't he say with Marshan, like, are you hearing something that I don't know? It's in my contract to do a playoff game. I'm just reading with Marshan. I don't know. So
I'm glad you brought this up because this is what a lot of people got confused about. That comment to Marshan came months ago or weeks ago. The decision for NBC not using Al in the playoff game, that just happened. Marshan called Al and Al gave him a no comment. The quote about, do you know something? I don't, was when Marshan interviewed Al several weeks ago and said, are you going to do the playoff game? And Al said, oh, why? Do you know something? I don't know.
So
that's
maybe
the timeline on that a lot of people got confused. Yeah.
Well, the smoke, there's fire. I just think. Get that.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But I know for a fact the quote was from a previous interaction Marshan had with Al, not from the latest with the playoff game.
And even with that, just my bigger issue is that people make it like he's lost a step. Bullshit. He sounds fine. Well,
right. So last week he's doing a game between two teams who have no shot at the playoffs with the Chargers and the Raiders. The Raiders win 5,000-3 and people want Al to yell on every play. It's absurd.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Bear, at Mr. Bear 7, which Sopranos character would have the best grievances to air on Festivus? So we have a Sopranos-Seinfeld crossover. Mm. The two that come to mind for me would be Uncle Junior and Paulie. And I would have to say, even though Uncle Junior is my favorite, I would have to say Paulie would be the best one to air the grievances. I mean, we saw it at, you could almost see it in the episode of Christopher's Intervention.
Right.
So I would go with Paulie.
I like your idea of Uncle June. I was thinking Christopher in some way, because remember when Christopher starts to get on his back, you know, they all get on him for shit and then he starts getting on everybody else. He could get nasty too. Yeah. So I like this season.
Oh, yeah. That is true. All right. We have four questions left. Let me see, because I'm going to save that one for last. Let me do these two first. At MChuck16, if NBC gets NBA rights and ESPN and Turner retain their rights as well, who would be your ideal pregame team and announce booths? So I guess Matt's setting this up like you can't get anyone from ESPN and Turner when because NBC is expected to get some sort of NBA package. You know, that's a hard one because I'm trying to think like who doesn't, you'd have to maybe find a local guy. I shouldn't have asked this question because I don't have an answer. If you can't pick anyone from ESPN and Turner, you got to come up with a whole new NBC crew. I shouldn't have answered this.
Here's what I want to know.
It's a good question, but I'd have to think. Go ahead.
I want to know if the NBA or if NBC gets the NBA, do we get Round Ball Rock back on our TV when it comes to the NBA games on NBC?
They better, because if not, people are going to riot.
They use that song on, like, I think Fox.
Fox, yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. No. That song is only one thing and one thing only. The NBA on NBC, which is one of the greatest things ever. So as long as it comes back, I don't care who's doing studio or what, I want that song back on.
I'm trying to think if there's a play-by-play person out there who doesn't work for ESPN or Turner who I'd like to see do NBA. And I'm Everybody, I feel like, works for ESPN Turner. I'm trying to think if there's a Fox person.
How about Noah Eagle? Too young?
That's one. I could definitely see him getting that gig, although he's tied up. Yeah, he would actually get that gig because he's with NBC now doing the Big Ten games on NBC. So, Noah, that's a good call by you. You bailed me out there. Noah Eagle would absolutely get that gig. There's no doubt. I would love to see NBC work something out with Fox where they can use Gus. You know, after the college football season wraps up, let Gus Johnson do some NBA.
So we're saying we're eliminating anybody like Ian, obviously, or whatever.
Well, I think that's how he set it up. I mean, if I can pluck people from ESPN and Turner, then it's a different story. But if ESPN and Turner retain the rights, then you'd think, I always liked Mike Fratello as an analyst.
Me too. The czar.
I always liked him. Yeah. He was always good.
Give me Marvin Fratello.
I don't think Marv's going to come back.
Okay.
Just putting that out.
I want the music. I want Marv. I want Fratello.
I'm trying to think of like people who have like Dukas. NBA podcasts who would be good. I'd have to think more about that one.
Taylor. Bye. Oh, no. She's TNT, right? So she would be out.
Yep. Yeah. That's the problem. All right. Two left. We'll do this here. At Ryan Michael 2244. Top five sitcoms. Non-Curb or Seinfeld?
I mean, that's an impossible question.
I know. Here's the thing. I don't know how you know. The Office is on the list, without a doubt, for me. Right? So now I got four spots to fill. The Honeymooners
now, this is
on the
like,
list for me.
This is, sitcom is different than like shows that are on HBO, right?
No, it could be a sitcom on HBO.
But like Sopranos, The Wire, these shows don't count.
That's not a sitcom.
Right.
Those are not sitcoms.
So what is a sitcom exactly then?
You don't know what a sitcom is?
Situational
30
comedy.
Minutes. It's usually comedy. Mm. Although, I mean, you can make the argument that Sopranos was a comedy, but a sitcom.
I wouldn't think Curb would qualify for this. I think like Frasier, like nationally syndicated or whatever, like, you know.
Right. I know for me, my list would have The Office.
One.
It would have The Honeymooners.
I got one. Married with Children.
That's a sitcom.
That's a great fucking show. That is a show ahead of its time.
I would put All in the Family on that list.
Who?
All in the Family would be on that.
Yeah, so I mean.
All in the Family, The Honeymooners, The Office, and then I would maybe put the Larry Sanders Show on that list. And I would, you know, I'll tell you, no?
I don't think that's a sitcom.
What about Scrubs?
Probably a sitcom. It's not making my list. God, there's so many. I can't do this. Like, I actually would need 3 fucking hours to go through this. You're just throwing this question on me.
I'll tell you. All right, we'll answer when we come. The next time we do a pod. I'll tell you a show that everyone would put on their list, and I will make this confession, and now I'll take all the shit from everyone for it. I have never seen one episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah. I mean,
but everyone would put that on the list.
I watched that back in the day during the block. I think it was Sunday nights with Married with Children, right. if I'm not mistaken.
Go ahead. You don't consider the Larry Sanders Show a sitcom?
I don't even think I would consider Curb a sitcom. Okay. I'm thinking like, written for, like, those are different because of the way that they air. I'm thinking like soundtrack in the crowd, the fake laugh, right. Heat, like Family Matters, you know, like those are, right. You know,
you made it way more comical than it needed, way more difficult than it needed to be.
Well, just ask me the best five shows. You can't ask me the best five shows and eliminate my two favorites right off the bat.
Well, if someone's asking you about movies, they'll say, someone could say to you, Sal, what are your five favorite dramas? What are your five favorite comedies? In movies, it's the same thing with TV. You're out of order.
I guess. Who's the dude that, Norman Lear, right? Put all his shows on there. Like, all of those shows are up there.
All in the Family is a Norman Lear show.
Right. Jeffersons, I love that show. Like, there's so many.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you asked me this in the 80s when I was a kid, my list would be Who's the Boss, Growing Pains, Family Ties, The Cosby Show, and I don't know, Brady Bunch.
But don't they still Like, can't you put them in there still?
Not a, no. Now my tastes are a little elevated, I'm a little fancier now. So I go curb the office. All right, last question from at Boston Broker 33. Saved it for last.
Here we go.
Will Sal be homeless in February 2024?
Not February, but there is a chance come April. So, yeah, I know. It's unbelievable. I don't know the last I updated with you or on the air, but
the last you
way.
Updated was you were waiting to hear that day was the deadline, but you already had soured on it, and then they never got in touch with you, and that and your wife was really into that house, and then it all went kaplooey.
We didn't hear back, and I told our lawyer to send them a letter that says we are done. They did. The lawyer responded by saying, oh, you beat me to it. We were going to counter and say that we're not going to sell anyway without the contingency of us finding something else. So obviously it was the right decision. But now, once again, we have nothing. And to further the story, we close on selling our house January 5th. We are renting.
Oh boy.
We are renting our own house back for more money than what we're paying mortgage wise for at least January, probably February. And then March is the, like, we need to be out, contractually out by April 1st or by March 31st.
Holy.
The window would seem pretty significant in September. Oh, yeah, all right, tell them we'll sell and we'll be out by April the latest. That's fine. Now, all of a sudden.
I had no idea this was the case, and I wanted to wrap up the pod, and now my head is spinning, and I can't even.
I don't know.
I
mean,
be clear about something. I just want to be clear about something. So starting January 5th, you're renting your own house.
Correct.
For more money than you were paying.
Yes, because apparently when you rent back from the now new homeowners, you're doing it at their, whatever their mortgage is.
That is like, unbelievable.
So what happens is you want to sell the house, right? But you also got to make sure that you have a place to live. So I figured that's the best of, that's what people do. So we sell the house, we get all the money for
it,
whatever, we
get
the
price that we wanted. It makes sense.
And we have the ability to stay there if we choose to rent it back from them. We just have to pay whatever their mortgage is, which just happens, you know, with the rates being what they are, it's going to be more than what we currently pay. Not a big deal if you do it for a month or so. The bigger deal is that we don't have a fucking place lined up to go, which is a problem. That's the issue.
So once the holidays are over, January 2nd comes, is it just going to be like full-blown find a house and there's nothing going on in your life other than that?
Basically, yeah. I think after this weekend or after Christmas specifically, like we'll probably have a day. You know, it's quiet. There's nothing new opening up on the market now, obviously. But we'll hopefully have a day between Christmas and New Year's that we go look. Hopefully have at least every weekend after that. I mean, but the playoffs are coming up like – I'll tell you this. I'm not missing playoff games to look at a house. I'll fucking live on the street if I got it. I'm not missing postseason NFL games to go look at a house. There's no way that's happening. We'll rent if we have to.
This is insane. This is insane. The saga continues. All right. Well, Sal, sorry to hear that. But yeah. Try to have a Merry Christmas. Try to have a Happy New Year. We'll see you in 2024. And, appreciate all your work on the pod this year. We've had a lot of fun this year. It's been a good time. And hopefully you find a house.
Thank you. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas to everybody. I appreciate you guys, the comments and listening. And I appreciate you, Jimmy, for making me a part of this. It's always fun to catch up with you during the week.
Always fun. All right, Sal. Take care. Happy holidays to the family and everything. And be well. All right, that wraps it up for this edition of SI Media with Jimmy Traina. My many thanks to Sal Licata. My many thanks to you guys for listening. Really appreciate it. I hope you guys have a great, great Christmas. We will have a new pod next week with Peter Schrager and Andrew Perloff, our year-end extravaganza. If you missed any recent episodes of SI Media with Jimmy Traina, go into the archives and check them out. We had a bonus pod earlier this week with AEW superstar wrestler Maxwell Jacob Freeman, a.k.a. MJF. Our Andrew Marchand from the New York Post was on last week. Seth Rollins, Booga McFarlane, Mike Tirico, all recent guests on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. So subscribe to the pod and leave a review on Apple. All right, that wraps it up. We will see you next week with our annual year-end extravaganza with Peter Schrager and Andrew Perloff. My many thanks to you guys for listening. My thanks to Sal Licata. And enjoy the holidays. Stay safe and take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Check the backseat. Check the backseat.
All right, come here.
Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, everyone, this is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
Let's learn about all of it and then some. Listen to Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Grown Up Stuff.
Grown Up Stuff.